With that, Pastor Mark this morning, in case if you were in the early service, he spoke about the conference that the elders went to. And what he didn't mention, he said that it was really hard for him to come back and preach, you know, after going that. But what he did mention is what the conference was about. Okay, so the title of the conference was Just Thinking About Scripture. And so I joked with the pastors Friday after I listened to live one of Steve Lawson's message. I said, you know, geez, here I have to come and teach a combined Sunday school about how to study God's Word right after they get back listening to Dr. James White and Steve Lawson on Scripture. No pressure, right? So I laugh at that. But you know what's the awesome thing about God's Word is? When we get into it, it doesn't matter who you are, all men are laid equal before it. We are all sinners. None of us are worthy. And that's what God's Word teaches us. But God's Word teaches us that He is worthy. That He has made us righteous before Himself because of His Son. Because of His Son's death. Because of, He lives, we may also live with Him. And that is the awesomeness of God's Word. So before we get into this, I want to pray again because I need it a lot. I was speaking with Elder Brian Hayes this morning, and I appreciate you guys, you and Juan, so much. They were telling me this morning, they were up early this morning talking and praying for me. And I really do appreciate that. So I want to pray again, and I'm going to pray for our time. So Lord, I just thank You so much. Lord, I thank You that for the opportunity You have given me to expound Your Word. God, I pray that we would be a people. God, I pray that we would be a church that loves Your Word. Lord, I pray that we'd be a church that reads and studies Your Word, that we may know You better. God, it is in Your name I pray. Amen. All right, so how this kind of came about is, I guess several of you, this was a few months ago, I was sitting with Pastor Brian and Pastor Cal in a staff meeting in Pastor Mark's office, and he said, you know, a few people have come to me and said they really kind of want to study on how to study Scripture. And I looked at Pastor Brian, and was like, Pastor Brian, me and Pastor Brian had just kind of gone through this very similar thing with the youth. And Pastor Brian said, well, Zach would be great at teaching that. I'm joking. But Pastor Brian had a lot on his plate, and I love to teach. So I said, I'll do it. And so I thank you for the opportunity. But this is such an important thing. It's something I had not really thought about when it comes to adult. How do you study Scripture? But then I started thinking of my own life and how my own journey in Christ came about and how many years I just floundered because nobody showed me the foundations of studying Scripture. And I wish that I could have gone through something like this when I first became a believer. So that's what we're going to do here today. And I divided this up into to two sections. Today we're going to kind of go through like the methodology and the nuts and bolts of why and how we study Scripture. Don't get lost today. Okay, next week we're going to go through the practical side of it. This is not going to be an exhaustive study. This isn't a seminary lesson on hermeneutics or how to study God's Word. I hope that you gain new insights. I hope that you gain new helps. Whether you are a new believer and have read very little of God's Word, or you are one of the seasoned teachers or a pastor here, I pray that God will give you new helps and insights into studying His Word. This is simply setting you in the right direction so you may go and study God's Word accurately and faithfully. So, can I get the first slide, Steve? The basics on studying God's Word. So part one, this is going to be understanding how we interpret Scripture. Why is it important to rightly interpret Scripture? Well, I can tell you, it's funny, I was reading an article this morning put out by NPR, and the title of the article caught my attention. It said, many evangelical Christians confirming this transgender lunacy that we're in. Best way to put it. And so I said, huh, well, let me read about this. And what it came down to is how these evangelical pastors start to understand the very basics and foundations of how they study Scripture are so far off. One of the biggest things, and I'm going to use some bigger words, and I'm sure that some of you this isn't going to be anything new. Some of you it may be. I don't want you to get lost in the big words, and we're going to explain them, okay? So the first one is a presupposition. Now, a presupposition just means it's something that you come into a conversation already thinking something, okay? When you look at Scripture, you can look at it one way. Is God's Scripture true? Or you can also come at it, is God's Scripture completely made up from men? That would be a presupposition. Now, I will tell you that that God's Word is inerrant. God's Word is sufficient. We have to start, and I'm not going to get lost in going off and explaining all the different things because I don't have time for that. Our presupposition going into studying God's Word is that God's Word is truth. And that's the bottom line. God spoke it, so therefore it is. That is our number one presupposition. The other thing is God's Word is sufficient. Okay? It means that, and Pastor Mark has spoken on this from the pulpit before, it doesn't mean that God's Word is going to tell you how to change the oil in your car. But what it means is that everything dealing with life and godliness, God's Scripture speaks to in one way or another. We have to have this coming in. This is going to be the very basis of our understanding and foundation of studying God's Word. This, all of studying Scripture relies on those two things. God's Word is truth. But from that, we build. And so, we want to talk about this next slide, Steve. This big word called hermeneutics. Okay, what does hermeneutics mean? Well, hermeneutics is the principles and method in which we choose to study. All right? It is something that... I can't even read my slide. There is many different types of hermeneutics, just like there's many different presuppositions. Okay? But what we hold to here is a literal, historical, and grammatical hermeneutic. Okay? A hermeneutic is just how we go about studying something. It's a big, fancy seminary word that just means this is the method in which we study. Okay? The reason I'm throwing these words out there, so if you hear them, you kind of have an idea what they were. Because normally, what happens when you first hear a new word, your mind shuts down. Mine does anyway. I don't know. Somebody tells me something new, my mind just goes blank. Okay? And I don't hear anything else. And so I want us to understand this. What is a good hermeneutic? Next slide, please. And why is a correct hermeneutic so important? So it should be the will and desire of every believer to know God. What is our key and core purpose of being here? It is to worship and know God. That is why He saved us. He didn't save us and just set us aside to flounder, to just be. He called us for a purpose. When He saves us, He says, now go and know me. Be like me. Be holy as I am holy. Well, how do we do that? How do we even know how God is holy? Well, God has revealed Himself in His Word to us. That is the primary way that God has revealed Himself to us. I will not say it's the only way, but it is the primary way. We know God primarily through His Word. And knowing the Word of God, which is the way that He primarily shows us Himself, means having a sure foundation from which to launch. Knowing God's Word is simply not enough. You have to apply it to your life. So the main purpose of this study is to allow you guys to have a launching point to go into God's Word so that you may go and live a holy life. Not because based upon what the pastor has said, not based upon what Zach Turner has said, but based upon what you have gone and studied in God's Word yourself. We need to be Bereans. Every one of us needs to go back and study God's Word for ourselves. Next slide, please. So what is the end purpose? The end purpose is to have a sure foundation so that we may, through diligent study, find the meaning God intended of a particular passage rather than what we intend it to mean. I want to kind of talk about this for a second. There is only one correct interpretation of Scripture. It's what God intended its interpretation to be. We have seen this today. And it's nothing new. This has been forever. Man has made different interpretations of Scripture. But they are men's interpretations. Our job is to get to what God intended it to be. We can't do that without faithful study of God's Word. We can't do that by just simply opening up our Bible and reading a verse or two a week. We can't do that by listening to every strange doctrine that comes along. It says that we are, what if we're that? We are tossed to and fro. We only get to the way God, the interpretation that God intended, by diligent study. This is done, and I'm going to hit on this a lot next week, but you want to know what one of the key factors to studying diligently is? Is to pray about it. Praying as you study. I recently have finished discipleship with Jay, and anyone I've discipled in here has noticed, Pastor Mark gave this illustration a long time ago, and it has stuck with me. The Christian life is like rowing upstream. Prayer is one oar, and studying God's Word is the other. If you stop doing one, you're not going anywhere. And because you're on a river, you're not doing what? You're not even sitting still. You're going backwards. I've found that so much in my life. I've heard testimony after testimony. I was reading God's Word, but I stopped praying. And all of a sudden, my life's in tank. Or I'm praying, but you know God's not answering me. Well, because you stopped reading God's Word. They have to go in tandem. So as much as we talk about studying Scripture, we're also going to focus on prayer as a part of that. So, a hermeneutic, and again, because time constraints, I don't have time to go into a few of the different hermeneutics, but what we look at here at Grace Harvest is a literal, historical, and grammatical hermeneutic. And I'm going to explain what they are. Now, the Pastor Mark and probably Pastor Brian would also add context into this. I don't add context into this part, because I think it's such an important part somewhere else, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. So don't freak out, pastors. I haven't forgot about context. Okay? But a literal, historical, and grammatical hermeneutic. What does this mean? What does this mean? Next slide, please. What do we mean by a literal hermeneutic? In its most basic meaning, it means we take Scripture at face value. God is not trying to be a God of confusion. He's not trying to be this super secretive God whom you can't. He throws you a little bone so you think you know what he thinks and who he is, but he's not really like that. No, God has revealed himself to us. We take it literal. It means phrases, commands, and words are to be taken literally according to the common usage of the day when written, unless otherwise evidence that it should not be. I.e. specific genres. You know, there's poetry, okay? Guys, don't take Scripture literally when he goes and says, "Honey, your hair is like a flock of goats." Okay? We know that that's poetry. Okay? It doesn't work too well anymore, guys. Might have worked back in Solomon's day, but it doesn't work today. Okay? But we take Scripture literally unless it is obvious. I mean, and I do mean obvious that it shouldn't be. Most recently, Pastor Mark has begun, he had been teaching regarding the millennial kingdom. How do we know it was 1,000 years? Because the Bible says it was going to be 1,000 years. He doesn't say it's going to be a long time, it's going to be many years. No, it says it's going to be 1,000 years. Very specific. Now, is it going to be 1,001, 1,002 years? We don't know. We're not there. But for now, we take God's word literally that it's going to be 1,000 years. Why? Because God is faithful. Remember, going back, God's word is inerrant. God is faithful. Going back to the conference, I did get to watch part of it. I got to watch Steve Lawson's sermon Friday night. And he talked about how Christ affirmed the authenticity of Scripture. And he said, if you believe in Christ, then you have to believe in Scripture. Why? Because Christ affirmed it himself. You can't say that Christ is real, he's my Lord and Savior, but then the Scripture is kind of, I don't know. It's only true where it intends to be true. That's the big thing now. Even among conservatives, Scripture only intends to be true where, or is only true where it intends to be. Well, you know what the problem with that is? Who is responsible for figuring out where it intends to be true or not? I'm not qualified for that. Pastor Cal's not qualified for that. No, all of Scripture is true. Other places, other examples of taking literally. Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Sorry, guys, it doesn't say a whale. It says a great fish. I know, I hate to break it to you. We assume it was a whale, but, you know, it says great fish. Was Jonah literally swallowed by a great fish? Yes. How does that work? How did he stay alive for 3 days? By the grace of God. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know it happened. Why? Because God's word said it happened. You know what's more? Let's bring it down to us. God's word says, be holy as I am holy. Well, we struggle with that one, don't we? Because if I'm going to take God's word literally, that means God literally looked at Zach Turner and said, be holy as I am holy. Well, I don't like that. Because that, you know, I like myself a lot. And that offends me. Offends my flesh. But it doesn't make any less true that that's what God said and that's what God wants for me. Next slide, please. So a historical. What do we mean by historical? The vast majority of Scripture is an accurate historical account of the history of the world. Okay? And I will say this. When at the end of the millennial kingdom, when all the earth is destroyed and made new, and Jesus takes the kingdom and turns it over to the Father, all of Scripture will be accurate history. All of it. We believe that the events described in Scripture are historically accurate and reliable accounts of church and human history. Jericho, this is a big debate in modern times. Jericho, you want to know why the world says that Jericho was never there? Because modern archaeologists can find no evidence. Does that mean that Jericho wasn't there? No. I believe it was there because the Word of God says it was. I believe everything that happened at Jericho happened the way the Word of God says it happened. Sodom and Gomorrah aren't there either. There is no evidence that it was there. Well, they're wrong. You know what's awesome? And this is kind of getting off sidetrack. So modern archaeology is becoming a big thing in evangelical circles. Seminaries are starting archaeology degrees. Shepherd's has one. And it's quite It's quite there. You know, you don't hear as much about evolution anymore as you did when I was growing up. Why? Because it's been so disproven. Oh, they still hold to it. They still hold to it because they don't want to admit that there's a God. But they're real quiet about it now. Why? Because Christianity has come so far scientifically. It's amazing. I mean, many of you have been to the Ark and Ken Ham's museum and just seen the evidence that's there in the work, and it's doing great work. They are proving the Bible historically. Next slide, please. Grammatical. What do we mean by grammatical? In its most basic meaning, grammar often determines meaning. It's real easy to get lost in this because we want to look at the Hebrew. We want to look at the Greek. Stop looking at the Hebrew and Greek and think about our own English language. Grammar determines what stuff means. You put a comma in there and it changes the sentence. You add a, and this is the funny, this is a side note. You want to read Hebrew? Go read a scroll. There are no vowels. Okay? So the Hebrew that you read with all the little dots and everything, the dots and everything are vowels. Okay, the original text didn't have any of that. I couldn't read it. Okay, and they added it all in. Anyway, I won't get lost on that. But anyway, grammar is so important. Much like our native English language, grammar determines how the reader should interpret words or phrases, how the structure of sentences work, and so forth. We can't just look at Scripture and not read it how the writer intended it to be written, We can't do that. We can't insert our own grammar, our own punctuation. We can't look at words and take them out of context and try and twist them just because that word means something else in another situation. We have to look at it within the context of what it's given. In the next slide, the three C's. So this is why the three C's are context, context, context. I apologize, the screen's so small. I hope you can read it. But context, context, context. The reason I don't put context up in that is because I believe context is what binds everything together. It's kind of like this stool. Okay? Now, Pastor Kaus will sit on that stool. Let me take all these things that tie it together, and then let me ask him if he would sit on it. Probably not, right? Because it'd become real wobbly, and it would fall over without the things that tie everything together. Well, context is what ties everything together. How do you know the context? You got to read it. So, rule number one in studying Scripture is you got to read it. Context is what ties everything together. You want to know how we get so many wonky versions of verses? It's because they read one verse and they pull it out of all the context that's around it. Matthew chapter 18, where two or three of you are gathered together, there I will be in the midst of you. Oh, that sounds great, right? That means that, well, wait a minute, that means that two or three of us has to be gathered together for God to be with us, right? No, that has nothing to do with that. Matthew chapter 18 is dealing with church discipline. Okay? When we pull a verse, and how many of you in here have heard it, that verse taught that way? Yeah, about half of you. You want to know how messed up church interpretation of Scripture is these days? Half of you have heard it taught that way. When we take a verse outside of its context, we get terrible interpretation. If we get terrible interpretation, we get horrible application. All right. Next slide, please. This is, I'm going to kind of go through how we, how do we put together that hermeneutic? What does it look like when we practically look at a passage? I'm not going to look at a particular passage today. I'm just going to kind of give an overview of what it would look like to go through. And I will tell you this, most of this, and it's in your notes, most of this comes from this book. This is the book that was used in my introduction to hermeneutics class in seminary. It is Grasping God's Word by Scott Duvall and Daniel Hayes. So most of this, just for, I don't want to be accused of plagiarism, you know. So most of this comes from that. This book is available down in Pastor Cal's office after today. So if somebody wants to look at things deeper, you may. I love this because I'm a visual learner, and this kind of stuck with me. This was the first thing I was taught in seminary, and I've had hermeneutics class since then, but this has just always kind of stuck with me because it's simple, and it reminds me of the process we have to go through. Okay? Go forward one slide, Steve. All right. So if you look at your notes, you have this picture on this. This is kind of the full picture, and we're going to go through parts of it. So you want to kind of refer to this in the next page. Step one in this is starting in their town. We must start with the understanding that each book of the Bible was written for a specific purpose to a specific people during a specific time. Okay? We can't just launch into Scripture thinking that it's written to me. Scripture was not written to me. It was not written to you. It applies to us, and God wants us to know Him through our Scripture, but guess what? It was written to a for a specific purpose, to a specific people, during a specific time. We use this, anybody who's been in any of the Sunday school or classes I've taught anyway knows this. When we start a new book, we do an introduction to that book, right? We went through James. We went through, we've been through Acts since I've been in a New Testament class. You know, we've been through the pastoral epistles with the young adults. And each one, we do an introduction. Why is that so important? Because we have to know the context in which we're reading it. Remember, context, context, context. James was not written to you and me. It was written to the Jews in dispersion. So when you read James and you think about what the Jews were going through that he was writing to, that's why James was written. It wasn't written to Zach Turner to deal with his work week. Now, it might apply to that, but it wasn't written to me. So first, we have to start in their town. Okay? We need to understand why the book was written. Now, again, this is why I say, you can't just open the Bible and read one or two verses and expect to have a great time of fellowship with God. We need to dive in. We need to study God's Word. Spend time with Him. We need to know why it was written. We need to know who it was written to. And we need to know for what purpose. Was it dealing with a specific issue in the church? You know, many of the epistles written to the churches were dealing with specific issues. That may apply directly to our church. Some of them may not, but it doesn't mean that we can't apply it here. It doesn't mean it doesn't give us things to avoid. Next slide, please. So we have to start in their town. Next, we have to measure the gulf between us. What separates us from them? Okay? This is things like language. I'm sure most of you are in here smart enough to know that the Bible was not written in English. Okay? And there's things with that. And I'm not at all advocating that everyone must know the original languages, okay? That's a daunting task. Trust me, I know. But there are great helps out there, and we'll go over some of them tomorrow, or next week, not tomorrow, next week. There are great helps out there to help us understand what the original language meant, okay? Because There's some going from any language to another language. Guess what? There's some differences there, right? We know that. If anybody who knows two languages knows that there you have to fudge some stuff, okay, to make it work. We don't necessarily have a word in English for one of the Greek words. So we have to kind of make stuff up. There's helps there. That's part of measuring the gulf between us. How about culture? Culture is a big one. Because guess what? We can't read Scripture thinking that they had an American culture. Because they didn't. What's the differences between our culture and theirs? How about time? Time changes a lot. And the funny thing is, as I study Scripture, there's a lot of things that don't change over time. The sinfulness of man doesn't change. The faithfulness of God doesn't change. How about the situation? Measuring the different differences between us, measuring the difference between the church in Philippi and the church of Grace Harvest. What are the differences there? How can we know the difference? How does it apply? We have to know what separates us. Next slide, please. So step three is crossing the principalizing bridge. This is where you will begin to interpret. This is where you start to say, okay, I understand what was going on, why the book was written. I kind of understand the differences. What is God saying here? If your principles, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. Crossing, this is the crossing from them to us. What are the main, this is where you ask yourself, what are the main principles that God is trying to tell me? What is God trying to teach me here? Next slide, please. This is where you need to, because this is where you need to stop. Consulting the biblical roadmap. This is where most Christians get in trouble, is they don't stop here and consult the biblical roadmap. You want to know what they do? They just stop. They think, well, I have the principle. That's good enough for me, right? The problem is you need to stop and consult the rest of Scripture as to whether or not your principles are lining up with the rest of Scripture. Same thing as we just discussed with Matthew chapter 18. If I say that, well, it has to be two or three of us before God is with us, and I stop right there, and I say, well, does that line up with the rest of Scripture? Well, my answer has to be no, because we see lots of places where God is with one person. So that automatically, and if God's, again, our foundational principle is what? Scripture is true. Okay? One of the biggest things, this is where we get Scripture interprets Scripture. Because Scripture cannot lie. So if what we're saying Scripture says makes another part of Scripture a liar, then we're the liar. Not Scripture. So this is where we need to stop. And we need to say, do our principles line up with all of Scripture? If they don't, then go back. Then go back. Don't get discouraged. You know how many times in seminary I have had to write, I started writing a paper, and I kind of went in with a presupposition on what I knew that passage meant. Well, guess what? I come out on the other side being like, man, I really didn't know what I was talking about. Okay? It's okay for us to stop and go back. It's okay for us to be wrong at this point. You want to know where it's not okay to be wrong? Is when you're standing up here or you're talking to somebody else. Let God and Scripture and His Word be the judge of what's right or wrong. Don't try and go before you've gone through this step. Make sure that that your principles line up with all the Scripture. So next slide. Grasping the text in our town. So this is, how does it apply to us today? I said it before that Scripture only has one correct interpretation. Okay, that does not mean that that interpretation doesn't have many applications. Okay, we need to, I want to get away from connecting so hard the application from the interpretation. Okay, we can get many applications of our life out of one interpretation. How does this apply today? After we've saw that our principle lines up with all of Scripture and we are confident in God, and guess what? That's asking God in prayer also. Do we have the correct interpretation of Scripture? How do we apply that to our lives? God, I have stopped so often in my life right before this. Oh, good, I have the correct interpretation. I don't want to apply it to my life because that means God's Word is going to hold me accountable. We cannot stop there. We have to continue to this next step. We have to apply it to our life. Getting it right. And so through these five steps, we kind of see how we make a journey of our hermeneutic, our literal, historical, grammatical hermeneutic, how we can take it from what Scripture, the writer and the Holy Spirit of a book, what they originally intended for it to mean to a specific people, to a specific time, and for a specific purpose, and how God intends it to apply to our lives today. That whole process. The next slide, please. Getting it right. Again, there is only one correct interpretation of Scripture. We are called to be Bereans. One of the things that that I love about the Bereans is they took what they were taught and then they went and sought the Scriptures to see if it was true. How many of you have gone behind Pastor Mark, have gone behind your Sunday school teacher, and have dived into Scripture to find out if what they're teaching is true? Or do you just take it at face value that, oh, they wouldn't lie to us? They wouldn't have the wrong interpretation. Now, I'm not saying Pastor Mark or any of the teachers here do. Okay, and that's not what I'm saying at all. But do you blindly trust men? I say we need to trust God's Word. We have faithful men, faithful teachers. We have faithful pastors here that are faithful to God's Word. And I don't want to take anything away from them about that. But are you going behind them and making sure, not only for them, but for yourself, of what they're teaching is true? There may be, again, there's one interpretation, but there may be many applications. When you go back and you study Scripture for yourself, are you applying it to your life? It's really good for you to study Scripture. It's a better for you to apply it to your life. I used to be the Christian. I loved reading God's Word when I was an early Christian. I was a babe in Christ, and I went to Liberty and all this stuff. And I love getting into Bible debates and studying God's Word. But you know what the problem was? I never applied any of it to my life. I thought I knew all this stuff, but I never applied it to my life. It wasn't until, to be honest with you, just a few years ago that I submitted to God into that in my life. And I can tell you that it's worth it. To put God's Word and apply it to your life, you want to really see God start moving and working in your life, do that. Be obedient. You see, Christianity is simple. It really is. We complicate it. God's Word is simple. He says, I've done all the work. I've saved you. My Son went to the cross for you. He paid the price. All you got to do is be obedient. How do you be obedient? Well, it's in God's Word. He even gave you an instruction manual. How much simpler can it be? And yet we don't even want to read the manual. We don't even want to study it. And we certainly don't want to apply it to our lives. And I want to say this as a side note here. Be careful not to overextend your application past the interpretation. Now, what I mean by that is, don't outthink Scripture. That's how we get into legalism. You know what happened? I went through this with the youth when we were doing Acts. It says that when it talks about the ascension, it says that they were a Sabbath day journey from the temple or from Jerusalem, right? Well, that got me thinking, what's a Sabbath day journey? Well, it's a certain set distance that the religious elite, it's not scriptural, came up with because the Lord says, don't work on the Sabbath. It is to be holy. Well, we need to come up with a distance. So that, because if you go beyond this distance, well, then you're working. That's what I'm talking about. Let's not make man-made laws. Let's face it. We have hard enough time keeping the commandments that God's given us. We don't need to make new ones. Okay? Do not let your application overextend the interpretation. We don't want to step into legalism. So next week, that's kind of ending on this week, and I want to kind of talk next week. I don't want to lose you today, and I hope I didn't. I'm trying to simplify this down as best I can. I want to give you just a sure foundation from which you can go, okay? That you can dive into God's Word and find out for yourself. Next week, I'm going to really kind of dive into more of the practical side of it. What does it look like? But I want to talk about one thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about this next week too, but there's a lot of great resources out there. You want to know what some of the greatest resources that we have here is? Each other. Is our pastors, our elders. I can, and it's been said before, but I will say it again from up here, that Grace Harvest probably has the greatest accompaniment of teachers that I've ever seen in a church. Okay? And I am humbled to even be a part of that, because I feel like I'm the least of these when I hear these men get up and teach. And I hope you feel the same. Take hold of the wealth of knowledge that they have. The elders, all of them have been approved to know and study and to know the Word of God. That's part of being an elder. If you have questions, go to them. Go to the pastors. For so long, I was so embarrassed to ask what something meant in Scripture, because I didn't want to be thought of as ignorant when it comes to God's Word. Because I thought, well, if I ask that question, are they going to think little of me? Or maybe the real truth is, maybe they'll know that I don't spend as much time in God's Word as I should. Don't let your pride get in the way of finding the truth of God's Word. We have a great resource in each other. I often envied those men who could spout Scripture off at just a minute's notice. You know, it's like they knew everything about the Bible and where it was. And I used to be like, man, how do you get to do that? How do you know all that stuff? Well, you don't know how they know it? I found out. You spend years in God's Word. And you start to learn stuff. And you start to remember stuff. And God starts beating it into you. That's how those men, that's how the pastors and the elders, when you have an issue, they can go, well, that's in such and such. You can be like that too. We should be like that. As God's people, we should know God's Word. So I want to take my last few remaining moments, and I talked with Pastor Cal a little bit about this. But we have a library. But there's some really great resources here at the church. If you ever need something about something, we probably have a book on it, or a resource to give you, or something if you want to study more in a certain area. There's a couple bookshelves full downstairs in Pastor Cal's office. Guys, use resources you have. Use it. I never was one to, like, read, you know, much. And that's one of the greatest, and Pastor Mark has said this too, one of the greatest things I preach about seminary is they force you to read. And to be honest with you, I don't know that I could go back to not reading anymore, because it is, when you start reading, and I'm talking about especially reading God's Word, it is life-changing. I can go to the same passage every day and not exhaust it. You want to know why? At the beginning, I said even the pastors, hopefully that they may even get some little nugget of truth out of this, because it was said this morning in prayer group that God's Word is never exhausted. There has not been one single person from Adam until when Christ returns that will know all of God's Word and exhaust it. We cannot exhaust God's Word. I appreciate so much the Sunday school studies right now, because we're in Acts and New Testament, and we're in Acts and youth, and I think the young adults are in Acts, or not the young adults, the adults with kids. I don't know what you call yourselves anymore. Y'all, the big class, you know. So, the Bereans. Oh, you better hope so. I'm going to hold you to it. I get to hear both the New Testament class teach a passage, and then I get to go hear somebody else teach the same passage in youth. And it is amazing the wealth of knowledge that can come out of one passage. A few verses. Over 2 hours of teaching on a few verses that are separate. God's Word is great. It is alive. It's amazing how we can go and into God's Word. And it speaks to me. I can go to the same passage and it'll speak to me differently tomorrow. God's Word is worth it. Studying God's Word is worth it. Not only is it worth it, but we're called to it. Let us be godly people. Let us study God's Word. And I hope that this helped as a foundation. If you have any questions, for the lack of the sake of time, I don't have a whole lot of time to open up the questions in here, but please come. Talk to me. If you want to know more, talk to me. Grab one of the elders. Grab one of the pastors. There is nothing more important to your walk with God than your knowledge of Him, than your understanding of His Word. Let us be Bereans. Let us pray. God, I thank You so much. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. I thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You that You have simply revealed Yourself to us. I thank You that You're not a God of confusion. And while, God, there are some things that are hard to understand, may we be all the more diligent to seek You out. God, may You be glorified this morning. And it's in Your name I pray. Amen.